This morning I endeavored to preach some from the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. And one brother came up to me and he said, "You know, I may end up loving the book of Ephesians as much as I do the book of Romans." And if the Bible was a mountain range, I would think the book of Romans would be Mount Everest. And right next to it would be the book of Ephesians. And that's not minimizing the importance of all the other scriptures that we have given to us. They're all given by the inspiration of God, and they're all profitable for doctrine, for reproof. But I would think that Romans and Ephesians are two that are more doctrinal than any of the other books in the Bible. And we do love doctrine. It tells us what God has done for us that we could not do for ourselves. So let's go back this evening to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I do believe, brethren and sisters, that when we gather together in the house of God to worship God, we bless Him through worship, through adoration, through praise, through thanksgiving. That blesses God. He is pleased with His children. And we can bless Him all through the day and night. In our conversations, in our walk, we can bless the Lord. Now, when you and I are complaining or gossiping or any of those things, we're not blessing the Lord. So God help us to bless Him in the way that we can. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." And that word "hath" is in the past tense, meaning that all of these spiritual blessings are already given to us. And let's look at those spiritual blessings. "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." And that word "all" really jumped out at me this weekend as I was studying this. He didn't say, "Who hath blessed us with some spiritual blessings," but "with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And I take that to mean that everything necessary to save us from hell to heaven has been given to us already. There's nothing else left. All spiritual blessings have been given to us. And the first spiritual blessing, and we all love our natural blessings, don't we? I do. I enjoy good food and a good bed to sleep in and a nice car to ride around in and nice clothes to wear. But all these natural blessings are going to be consumed with the using of them. But the spiritual blessings are not going to wear out. They're going to last for all eternity. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the first spiritual blessing he mentions is that we have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I want to tell you, you know, later in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells us that we're to fight the spiritual fight, the good fight of faith. And the best way I know to fight the good fight of faith is to first of all know who you are in Jesus Christ. We're not fighting this spiritual war in order to go to heaven when we die. Jesus fought and won that for us. The victory is ours already from hell, sin, and the grave. But, beloved, we should fight the good fight of faith because we are who we are. We are the chosen of God. God chose us. And let me tell you, Satan will try to get into your head and my head and make us doubt our salvation. Make us doubt whether we're a child of God or not. Have any of y'all ever struggled with some of those doubts? Well, if you have, I want to tell you where those doubts came from. They didn't come from Scripture. They didn't come from the Holy Spirit. They come from the enemy. And you know, Satan attacked Jesus in the wilderness. You remember when Jesus was, after his baptism, was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? And what did the devil do? Did he come up to Jesus and said, "Now, Jesus, I know you're the Son of God, and I know I don't stand a chance with you." No. You know how Satan approached Jesus? "If thou be the Son of God." Did y'all hear that? Satan had the audacity to try to get Jesus to doubt whether he was the Son of God or not. Did y'all hear that? If you didn't, I'm going to quote it again. That's in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the first temptation that comes out of Satan's mouth is questioning his sonship. "If thou be the Son of God." What if Satan could get into your mind today and convince you you're not a child of God? Wow. I'd be of all men most miserable, wouldn't you? Isn't it a blessing to have that blessed assurance that you're a child of the King, that you've been bought with the precious blood of Christ, and you're on your way to heaven? You know, a child of God's got two addresses. Nelda and I, we live at 121 South 12th Street, Cochran, Georgia, and y'all are welcome to come see us. But we've got another address, and that's in heaven. You know, Paul said, "For our conversation," meaning citizenship, "is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior." You've got a home in heaven. Now, that ought to put a smile on your face. But Satan doesn't want you to believe that. He wants to fill you with doubt and fear and worry and anxiety. But if you're going to fight the spiritual war and win, you're going to need to know who you are in Jesus Christ. And you know who you are? You're the chosen. Now, you might have not been chosen in school to play on the ball team. I was sometimes the last one they chose. But you know what? It doesn't matter whether the world chooses you or not. If the Almighty God of the universe loves you and chose you before the foundation of the world, nothing else really matters. And if you know that, that's going to help you in your spiritual warfare. And then notice, "Furthermore, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." Wow. "That we should be holy and without blame before him in love." And then he would say in verse 5, "having predestinated us." Now, God is the only being in the universe that can predestinate. The word predestinate is a beautiful word if you understand it. The word "pre" means beforehand. It's a prefix, beforehand. Destiny is talking about where you're going to finally end up. And God has prearranged the final destiny of all of his children. God did that. You and I make plans, and sometimes they're frustrated and never carried out. But listen, "having predestinated us," who are the us? The chosen. Jews and Gentiles, out of all nations, families of the earth, "having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself." God adopted us out of Adam's pitiful family into his royal family. Y'all see that? That's who you are. You're adopted into God's. Your bodies have been adopted. Now, your spiritual nature was born of the Spirit. But your bodies were born of Adam. Our bodies have been adopted by God out of Adam's family into God's family. See, there's two, there's two of me up here. There's the natural body that y'all can see, and it's of Adam. And then there's a spiritual nature, hopefully, that's born of the Spirit. And the spiritual nature in me didn't need to be adopted into God's family because it was born into God's family. Do y'all see that? But this body sitting up, standing up here in front of y'all has been adopted out of Adam's bankrupt, ruined family into God's family. My body belongs to him. That's why Paul would say, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. I tell you all about people I see at Walmart that have on t-shirts, and I figure if they got on a t-shirt with a statement on it, they want me to read it. And I usually have to stop them and ask them. And I saw one the other day, and this lady had on a t-shirt, and it said, I belong to Jesus. Well, amen. That's true. How many of y'all tonight in this house know you belong to Jesus? Do y'all get it? Does that excite you? Or have y'all heard it so much you just kind of, you know, it's like a tick-tock clock. You've heard it so much you don't hear it anymore. You know, that's the danger of hearing the gospel. Hearing it and hearing it and hearing it until we just don't hear it. The first time I ever visited Brother Sonny Piles, well, the second time out in Texas, he took me to preach to a church in that area, and there was an elder in that church who had written a resignation letter to the church, and he read it to Brother Sonny and wanted to know what Brother Sonny thought about it. And Brother Sonny said, why are you resigning? And they had a tick-tock clock on the mantle, and this preacher said, you hear that tick-tock clock? Brother Sonny said, yeah. He said, well, I don't. It's been up there so long, I don't hear it anymore. And he said, that's the way it is over there at the church. They don't hear me anymore. Well, Brother Sonny talked him out of giving him up, which was a good thing. But you know, there's a danger, beloved, in us hearing the gospel so much, we just yawn through it. I'll tell you, you and I need to get excited about who we are in Jesus Christ. We have been chosen, not because we deserved it, not because we were special, but because he loved us. And why he loved us is a mystery that will remain forever until we get to glory. We'll never be able to fathom the depth of God's mercy, but we are chosen. And furthermore, we are adopted into his family. See, we would, you know, by nature, we'd all get excited if some billionaire came along and adopted us or our kids into his family and became his heirs. Well, we got something infinitely greater than that. We have been adopted into God's family. And we have no reason at all to be greedy or feel sorry for ourselves. No, beloved, we are the adopted children of God. And then he says, according to the good pleasure of his will. This is not according. See, eternal life is not according to the sinner's will. It's according to God's good pleasure. Did y'all hear that? According to the good pleasure of his will. God's pleasure is good. And I want to tell you, his will is going to be carried out. And then verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I love that. To the praise of the glory of my will? No. To the praise of the glory of my good works? No. To the praise of the glory of his grace. I love that story I shared with y'all today about the preacher who was studying grace. He was in his, Cruden's Concordance, and he was looking up grace, and he was learning about grace. You know, a lot of preachers don't know much about grace. They always preaching about money. You know, they're interested in you giving money or trying to get you saved and into heaven. But he was studying grace, and he got so excited. He was seeing grace, I think, for the first time in his study of the Bible. And he got so excited, he ran out in the street and grab the first person that came by and said, "What do you know about grace?" And this person said, "Grace who?" I want to tell you, beloved, you and I need to know about the grace of God. Listen to this text. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us, what? Accepted in the beloved. Our Armenian brethren are always telling us we've got to accept Jesus. I have never found a verse in the Bible that says He offered Himself to me to be accepted by me, but He made me acceptable to God through His sacrificial death on the cross. So y'all are accepted. Does that please y'all? Now don't yawn through that. I want to tell you, that's wonderful to know that you are accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. You know what redemption is? It's buying back what was yours originally. You redeem it. You buy it back. In whom we have redemption through His blood. He has redeemed us, bought us back. We were His by creation. We fell in Adam and became the property of Satan. But Jesus Christ came and bought us back. In whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So who are you? Who are we? We are chosen. We are adopted. We are accepted. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. And then He says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Beloved, if this, you know, this gospel, through, I believe, the Holy Spirit, got into my bloodstream. I mean, it was just like a transfusion. When God blessed me to hear it and understand it, I'm like Brother Mark said, I'm nothing. And less than nothing. You know what less than nothing is? How many of y'all know you're less than nothing? How do you get to be less than nothing? I understand nothing. How do you be less than nothing? Old Elder C. E. Smith, who used to come here and preach from Shawnee, Oklahoma, I remember how he explained that. He said, now here's a blackboard, and he drew a big zero on the blackboard. Now, not a literal blackboard, but in your mind, he drew a zero. He said, what is that? That's nothing. Then he took an eraser and erased the zero. What is that? That's less than nothing. That's what you and I are in Adam. Does that offend you all for me to tell y'all you're less than nothing? You say, Brother Sam, you don't know me. You don't know how important I am. You don't know my education. You don't know my bank account. You just don't know how great I am. Well, I know what the Bible says. And by nature, we are less than nothing. But by grace, we're chosen. And we are adopted. And we are redeemed and forgiven and accepted, and we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, beloved, knowing that, when Satan comes against you and attacks you in any way and tries to accuse you, and the Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren. I remember the Inspirations used to sing a Southern gospel song about the old accuser. You know who the old accuser is? The devil points that wicked finger at one of God's chosen, redeemed, blood-bought children and says, God, he's a sinner. And Jesus stands up and says, he's mine. I bought him. I paid for him. Now, in your daily life, you're going to be attacked in your mind. Satan's going to attack you. The world will try to get in your head. And in your flesh. You know, we all got this flesh we have to deal with on a daily basis. Anybody have any trouble with your flesh? I heard this preacher ask a Sunday school class one day, said, "What is sin?" And this little girl said, "It's anything you like." Well, you know, I thought she gave a pretty accurate answer. As far as our flesh is concerned, anything your flesh likes is sin. Now, I'm not talking about fried chicken and cream potatoes. You know, the body is different from the flesh. The flesh in the Bible is referred to as that old nature. Not the body, but it's the old fleshly nature. And you and I've got it, and we have to deal with it on a monthly basis. is that how your flesh is? You just, once a month, he comes out and aggravates you. No, he'll be waiting on you in the morning when you wake up, that old fleshly nature. But if you remember who you are and whose you are, and you say, "Lord, help me," he'll be right there, and he'll give you victory. And so, thank you all for your presence here tonight. It's been a good weekend, and we thank God for our ability to sing praises to Him and pray for people in need and spend some time in the presence of Holy Scripture. Oh, beloved, what a God we do have.